Para-X Radio, your source for everything paranormal and beyond.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and its guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X Radio Network, its affiliates, its sponsors, or Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Paranormal Encounters podcast series is educational, entertaining, and intriguing. Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her or ways to order her books will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hello, everyone, and thanks again for joining me for another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and the host of this show. Well, tonight we have kind of a hodgepodge of different things that I'm going to put out there for you. I hope it is an interesting show. I try my best to think about topics that might help all of us to expand our knowledge and our wisdom about the paranormal. Of course, it's always going to be a subject of mystery, You got your skeptics and you got your believers. And so are you trying to please both of them, or are you just trying to say, yes, there's something out there? There's a gentleman that I was listening to the other day. Like always, we all hit it on the nail. At the point that you start to believe that there's something going on out there that's paranormal related, only then as a skeptic might you be convinced that there is truly a paranormal essence to our world. And when I go to places, especially if they're haunted, I don't seek this stuff out. It all comes to me. So I always get amazed when people are like, well, what kind of equipment do you use? Myself. Because something is going to introduce itself in some way to me by the time I leave a place perceived to be haunted. It's just the nature of the beast. And the experiences I have, they aren't meant to like scare me to death, although I've had some pretty traumatic experiences, some that will scare the bejeebies out of you, which I write about, of course, in my books. Others are a little bit more like attention getting, and some of them actually communicate with me through my my ghost device, which if the words are very intelligent and make sense, and not me making sense out of them, but make sense for what's happening, then I can pretty much tell if it's a hit or not. You know, sometimes, like I said, I ask it, what do you need from me, or what do you want? Sometimes I don't even think they even know how to answer that. So, but anyway, just know that if you're interested in any of my books, go to www.paranormaluniversalpress.com and you will see what I have available. And then you can go to Amazon if you're interested, and you can buy it off of Amazon. If you have any kind of, if you are a book writer, or if you're someone who deals with the paranormal, you may reach out to me to tell me about your experiences. I certainly do promote individuals that have written books, and something we can explore and talk about on the show. Sometimes I just have interesting stories. It just all depends. So please understand that if you do reach out and I'm not quite sure if we can have it on the show or not, please do not be offended by that. It's just a matter of, there's lots of details involved when you're on the radio. So let's see, what are we going to talk about tonight? Our topic tonight is it possible for people to be controlled by paranormal entities? Of course, the answer is yes. But outside of that, we're going to talk about that. And I think that might be an interesting subject tonight. We're going to check in on just a very brief interview with Mildred on Ghoulish Chatterbox, go into a haunted report. Don't have much to report, but always try to report something interesting. And for the most part, wrap it up. And again, I want to thank everyone very much for supporting this show, listening to this show, hopefully getting something out of this show. That is what I aim for on all my shows. And just know that this is a worldwide listen to show on two networks. Well, one is a platform called Podomatic, of course. And also, if you go to my website, there is that Podomatic button that you can click on. And you go into it, you can subscribe for free and download for free. And I've got probably, what am I up to now? 46, almost to 50 some episodes. So there's a variety you can listen to dating way back when. And I have managed, with your support and help, to stay up in the number 1, 2, 3 spots on Podomatic on the in the category I'm in for the last 2.5 to 3 years. Thank you very much for supporting the show. I'm also on parax.com, parax.com, on Thursday nights on the Parax Radio Network located out of Philadelphia. And this has also widened my audience. And again, a very good network to listen to. Lots of different paranormal type shows. Something you can learn something from and gain something from many of the hosts that are putting on shows along with their interviewees, etc. So please, when you get a chance, if you go into Para X Radio Network, take a look and see what they have. It's easier to do it on a computer than it is on a phone. This network runs 7 days a week, 24/7. All right, so before we get started tonight, I think we will start out with the interview with Mildred. Hang in there with me. Thank you for listening, of course. Stay tuned, and I'll be right back. And now, a sneak preview of what is yet to come for a new segment called An Interview with Mildred. Our guest today is Mildred. She is a ghost. Thank you, Mildred, for joining us. How are you today?
I'm crabby.
Mildred, it appears to me that you have made quite an impact on your audience. I'm getting way too much fan mail for you, and I can't keep up sending out your picture. I mean, your picture is blank, but on the other hand, they want to see what you look like? That's what you look like. Some people have asked me to pass along a few questions for you. Are you game for a few questions?
Who wants to know? I'll bring it on.
Okay, question number one. If you could give something of yours away, what would it be?
Where's Maynard?
Question two. At what age did you first notice that you had an ability to talk to live human beings?
I think it was probably around the age of 150 years old.
150 years old? Come on, Mildred. I don't think ghosts age after they die, and it seems like that's a very long time ago.
Well, in human years, it was probably more like 10 years old.
What did you pass away from?
You know you can't ask me that. However, I think they may have printed my departure from Earth in the newspaper, and from what I gather, I passed away from something called Scarletta Fever.
I think you mean Scarlet Fever. What was the name of the newspaper?
I believe it was called the Daily Gossip.
How do you choose your, I guess I won't say victim or person, when you want to reach out or make contact with him or her?
I have no preference. Usually I throw something across the room to get their attention.
Doesn't that usually scare them?
Sometimes. I particularly like to see how high someone will jump into the air or how fast they might run out of a room.
What is your philosophy on life?
My philosophy?
No, philosophy.
My philosophy is that everyone should make the most out of each day, because when you die, sometimes you miss the ones you love.
Well, that's kind of short, simple, and sweet. Do you have any wisdom for those of us who are unsure about how to communicate with their loved ones who have departed?
Wisdom? Oh, this is a hard question. I'll have to get back to you on that one.
All right, how about something easier then? What is your favorite pastime?
Well, that's easy. Picking on Maynard.
How about your favorite color?
Whatever Maynard likes.
Oh, let's get into something a little bit more challenging here. How about your favorite number?
Number? Oh, that would be 7.
Why the number 7?
Because this is the age of Maynard, and I like Maynard.
Wouldn't that make you a cradle robber if you were 10 when you died and he's only 7?
Oh, are we done yet? Blah, 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 cradle robber, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, well, that concludes our brief interview with Mildred today. Stay tuned, everyone, as Ghoulish Chatterbox will eventually be developed and will take its place on the airwaves.
Hey, this is Lee.
And this is Michelle.
And this is Dustin from the Dead Zone.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the producer and host of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. I am a published author, academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast who holds 4 advanced degrees with an interest in parapsychology and life after death issues. I have written about and encountered nearly 100 situations involving the paranormal, with my most frightening experience being a floor-length mirror cycling around in front of me in a haunted room I had stayed in. I invite you to tune in Thursday evenings at 11 o'clock p.m. to 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Did I hear somebody come in?
Welcome to another haunted report. Well, I would like to address a few different issues, incidents, and ask you whether or not you think these situations are paranormal or whether it's merely an unusual coincidence. So the first one I'm going to talk about will involve doors that appear to not open, and second will be being contacted by the deceased on either your landline or your cell phone. And I have had experiences myself with both, and other people are reporting these experiences, and they've been going on for several years. But now that the technology, especially with phones, have changed, isn't it really interesting how some are even typing messages to individuals? And I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. Okay, so let's talk about doors that appear to not open. There are a number of situations where people get confused when a door gets stuck, won't open, isn't locked, but appears locked, and what kind of message is being relayed to that person when this happens. So some of the experiences that I have been through regarding a locked door, especially when it was impossible to lock to begin with, we'll start with my house, my current house. Don't know if this incident was a practical joke. Don't know if someone was trying to get my attention, but it wasn't very funny to me at the time. Let me explain why. So when I moved into my house, I had a lot of contract work being done, painting particular being done. But there seems to be one area, particularly in my house, where people who come in who are particularly psychic seem to want to report that there always seems to be some thing or activity happening in my foyer. That's the, when you come through the front door, your foyer. Some of you have one, some of you don't. It just depends on the size of your house. I have a small foyer. It's not huge, but it's big enough to accommodate furniture and a look. It just so happens that I was on a medication at the time that I was reacting to pretty badly. In other words, I was allergic to it and didn't figure that out until I finally went back to the doctor and said, seriously? And of course, then you discover that it's probably one of the more potent medications that someone can give you. So anyway, my painter was outside. He wanted me to come out and assess the house. The only way to, I left the front, the door to the foyer open, of course, and went outside. And at the time, I was in my bare feet, basically, stocking feet. The door going into the house in the garage was locked. I had no key anywhere as a backup to get in. And so I was outside, and somehow magically my door closed. And it is, you have to, sometimes you have the type of door where you have to kind of give it the extra push and then you turn the lock. Well, in this case, the lock was not turned on either end of it, but the door found itself to be closed. So it was a 100-degree day, and after I was done basically meddling back and forth with my painter, I said, all right, well, go ahead and do what you need to do. And then I was heading back into the house and all of a sudden discovered that the door was locked. And there was no way it could have been locked, because if the bottom button lock would had to have been turned, and I never touch it, the top lock would have been the only one that would have been locked. But when that turns, that actually jars outside of the frame. So if it's in a locked position, it won't go anywhere because it'll hit the frame. And of course, here I am on medication, in need. Let your mind think about that one for the moment. Door inside the garage is locked. No spare key. 100-degree day. Stocking feet. I'm kind of out there wondering about my life, you know. So anyway, long story short, I said to my painter, did you at one point touch any of the buttons on the door? So, because it's locked. No, he hadn't done that. Thank God he was there. I had to call my husband. He had to drive 45 minutes home with his client in the vehicle. Had to unlock the door, and when he did, it was the top turn lock. And I said, there's no way that this could have turned by itself. I mean, it wouldn't have anyway. It would have hit the frame. So, and it wasn't loose or anything where it fell down when it hit the door. So anyway, I investigated a little bit, and I basically, one of the things I've learned from other investigators is that it's not a smart idea to REM pod, use a K2 meter, or try to make contact with ghostly entities within your own house. But of course, at that point, I knew I had something in the house, so I needed to make contact. Supposedly, the ghost called himself John. I still to this day don't know who John is. That's not anyone who had lived in the house prior to or whatever, but could have lived somewhere on the property. There's an interesting story that goes along with this property, but don't know who John was. And basically, I chewed it out. And I said, don't ever do that again. Do not ever lock me out of the house again. And so I had to give this ghost a strong pep talk sitting on my steps in the foyer, and basically it has never happened again. However, the entity is always picked up on when I do have psychics do come to my house for different types of things that we do, and they always pick up on a male presence that is hanging around the house. Some think and feel it's my father, but my father would not just hang around my house, but part of his spirit could visit from time to time, I feel. But anyway, long story short, it has been noticed more than once. So is it possible for a ghost to lock you out of your house when you're in most in need? Yeah, but I didn't find that to be a very fun experience. When I was at Litchfield Plantation, probably about 10, 12, 13 years ago, something like that, not 20, about 10, 13 years ago. This is when we actually we intentionally went to this bed and breakfast to explore whether or not it was haunted, and we ended up out in a villa, and I said, oh, bummer. No, I won't be in the house. I won't be able to experience your ghost. Boy, was I naive. That entire property was and probably still is so haunted because it's by a creek and there's a lot of factors, and I write about it in my book. So many things happened that night. But what's really interesting, when I'm around the paranormal, I am beginning to also recognize and notice that I have a very, I have two types of reactions that go on inside my body. It's not like I feel scared. Nothing seems to want to scare me, except when I was in that extremely haunted bed and breakfast in, I think it was Wales, or, you know, overseas. But in this particular case, it felt different. So that's what I'm saying. Sometimes it's a more calming, numbing feeling. I don't know how to explain it. I just know that when there is the presence of a ghost, except in I'm not endorsing this museum, but it's except in Zach Bagans' museum. No. Negative, but still something reached out to me when I was there. I wouldn't have had the experience I did if it more than one thing reached out to me while I was there, because I had different reactions. But anyway, Litchfield Plantation. My husband went exploring in the house because we were in a villa that could accommodate two couples, and we were in there by ourselves that night. And he went exploring inside the house, and I thought I heard footsteps come through the door, and I thought it was him, or no, actually, I thought it was somebody else. I thought it was a second couple, and I thought we were promised that we were going to be there by ourselves. And so I went outside the room and discovered there was nothing there. So then I started hollering for my husband, and he was way upstairs in the back room somewhere of something, looking around. And I thought, boy, I'm losing it. I said, I could swear I heard footsteps come walking through this door. No, I've been up here the whole time. Okay. So there was some point where, I think it was that point where I went back to the room and I closed the door because now I'm feeling really unnerved and now my whole body is starting to react. I just felt kind of ew and, shut the door. And I didn't lock it or anything. It was like as easy as just opening it up or whatever. But when he came back to the room, he couldn't get in. And so he said, "We'll open the door." And I said, "Well, it's not locked." I said, "There's no lock on it. I don't know how it locked." I said, "Especially from the inside, you should be able to turn it and open up the door." And and all of a sudden we realized that the door was not going to open. But here's the interesting part to this story. It was at the point where I started to plead, "Please open the door. Please open the door. Please open this door." It went click and it just opened up. And you hear this story a lot. You hear of it a lot. People will be somewhere and they will find that their door is either locked, won't lock, and people will blame it on like a generator that's above them that might be affecting the mechanisms in the car, and that can happen. But you hear of this all the time, and people are like, "Oh, you got to do something with your lock on this door. This is crazy." And then they tell you that the lock doesn't work or it malfunctioned or it didn't malfunction or whatever. They just look at you and scratch their head. That was one interesting night at that plantation. If it wasn't for that experience, I would not have delved into this to the extent that I have over the years. But I will tell you, when you are in the presence of something you cannot see, and it's making noise or moving things or keeping your doors closed, you do sit up and take notice. When I was in the most haunted room with that cycling mirror in Wales, I think it was Wales. Oh, I mean, when you're away from it for so long, you kind of put it out of your mind. I'd have to go back to my book. The door, we were down having dinner. Maintenance man came down and said, "Could you please ask them for their key? The ghostly entity in that room refuses to open the door for me." And you're thinking, "Ah, gimmick." You know, that's what you're thinking. "Oh, good one. Oh, way to heighten the mood." This is what you're thinking until, of course, you see for yourself what goes on in the room. I will tell you, to this day, I was so traumatized by what I experienced in that room. Like I said on, I believe, one or more of my shows, I will pick and choose my times of being in the presence of something that intense. So what happened is the guy did go up. He used our key. He had to ask it permission. You have to ask permission when you go into that room. "Can I please come to this room?" Then it popped the lock and it let him in. Now, keep in mind, when he was in there were things that had happened. He was there to fix the light that wasn't working, put in a new light bulb. When we got in there were handprints on my pillow. So, of course, you naturally think it was his. According to the manager, he was not allowed to touch anything in there other than what he was to do. The mirror was in a position, which is, I've got pictures in my book of all this, was in a position that it wasn't before. And it didn't just swivel. It was like halfway down. You had to actually physically move it. And my husband had thought, oh, they're just trying to scare us with, you know, gimmicks. Ha ha. No. So sorry. That one goes out the door. So anyway, and then a most recent one, I'm not endorsing this, but I do like to look on Twitter once in a while and check in on the Museum of Zacks. Just recently, same situation occurred. One of the entities in the museum decided to lock the door, wouldn't let anybody in, had the lights going on and off in that room all night long, da-da-da-da-da. And it was when he said, please, would you please unlock this door? Boop! There it goes. And he was able to get in. Maybe there's something we have to learn here about the word please. That's just hitting me right now. I'm telling all these stories, and I realize that in each and every one of these stories, please was brought up before it went boop and then opened it up. Think about that for a moment. Okay, so let's get into another one here. Let's talk a little bit about the phone line, okay? The phone line. Is it possible for a ghostly entity to contact you on the phone? The answer is yes. I'm not saying all the time. I'm not saying they even know how to do it. And I'm not saying it's your loved one either. Could be somebody else. Let's see. Did I have an experience? I've had two situations where a landline was involved that involved trying to contact me in some way on the phone. The first one was in one of my homes long, long time ago when I realized that I brought all kinds of entities in there and made it a really haunted house. I don't do that anymore. Just know that I learned a lot from that experience too. But what was happening with my landline is we had a phone that was sitting on our coffee table. And basically, in a nutshell, the way you know that you're on it is that there was a light that would always blink, you know, as if there was discussions or someone was on the line. And if no one was, of course, then it would not blink red. And I believe it was over a portal. I firmly believe that there was a lot of activity that went on that coffee table, more than I can explain. But anyway, or that area. And so anyhow, one time I decided to be brave and I picked up the phone. I thought, I'm going to sit here and see if there's somebody yapping on the phone here. A lot of static. The phone doesn't normally do that, a landline, for static, unless there's something wrong with the line, okay? So I'm sitting here thinking to myself, well, maybe it's my imagination. There was a time when I was on the phone with a really credible psychic talking with her, and all of a sudden she couldn't hear me at all. And when we did come back together, she started laughing and said, was that your resident ghost that just tried to make contact with me? I said, I don't know. I couldn't hear you. And she said, well, I said, what did it say? Well, it sounded like a man, and it sounded kind of raspy and was trying to say something gurgly, but I couldn't make out what it was trying to say. And I thought, oh, geez. So, and that was on that same phone. And she says, you got someone likes to hang around your phone line. Of course, she's psychic, so if she's really good, she would know what she's talking about, all right? No offense to good psychics out there. Please forgive me, but the bad ones give you a bad name. And it makes your job harder for people to want to reach out and at least try to get information. Okay, that was one situation right there. I just read somewhere online that somebody was also being... Oh, no. I had another situation. Sorry to mumble. I was told by the same psychic, she was actually pretty good in the department of certain things, that my father would try to contact me. And I've brought this up on the shows before. And so the phone did ring. This is at a different house now. It's not at the same house, but it was a house. It was my last house that became haunted because of what the activity that happened on the land right next to where this house was built. And anyway, long story short, the phone did. She said that my father was going to try to contact me, but it was going to be over the phone. And I said, but I never pick up the phone because there's so much, you know, so many robocalls and scammers and irritating people. I'm sorry if you're one of those irritating people, but I'm sorry, you're irritating. Okay. And so anyway, I said, it's not going to happen. I don't ever pick up the phone. Well, one day the phone did ring. I went over and it was 000000000. Okay. Is it possible for that to happen from, you know, someone calling that's like a scammer or a robocall or whatever? I don't know if I can answer that question, but I do know that I stood there and debated whether I should pick up the phone or not. She did tell me that he wanted to express a concern about something that was happening, you know, my family farm, and that he needed to vent to me. And of course, it was, that wasn't the only moment that I did try to reach out to him. I've reached out to other people, some that have been on this show, who have actually experienced, my father. And I've had those people on the show. But anyway, long story short, I never did pick up the phone, and I still wonder to this day if that wasn't him. But he did show himself in another way, and I knew it was him, and it was because of the way the smells came and engulfed me and were very strong and were very powerful, and they're not smells that were common to inside my house or the area at all. So it was something very relatable to him. And so I think that was his way of reaching out to me. We have now hearing reports that people are getting paranormal typing messages to them, literally calling in nursing homes or in hospitals to staff, telling them that they've either died, passed away, someone needs help. You see this on the a real interesting show, Paranormal 911, where some of the paranormal will even call on their loved one's behalf to inform people that their loved ones are in trouble. It's very, very interesting, and it's very fascinating. And if I ever have another occurrence like this, I'll be sure to tell you about it. So anyway, my question to you is, have you ever had any of those experiences? Have you ever been called? Have you ever picked up a phone, heard static, but maybe you heard some raspiness? Have you ever had a situation where you're locked out of a room or house and you thought it was just the door, a sticky door or whatever, but really in essence it was something asking you to stay out, keep out or whatever? It's just a fascinating thing on how they try sometimes to make contact. All right, so here ends my haunted report for this session this evening, and now we will go into the main feature for the night, and we will talk about whether or not it's possible for people to be controlled by the paranormal. Stay tuned. The main topic for this evening is whether or not the paranormal, aka disembodied ghost entity or whatever, can actually control or affect a human being or animal. This is the educational portion of the podcast. There are many theories out there regarding the possibility that an entity can actually affect a person to the point where it is taking over their body to control or be temperamental, hostile with another person or being. You have seen, as I have seen on many of these paranormal shows, this occurring where someone gets very possessed or a demon has taken over its body, and next thing you know, the person is not the same personality that you once knew. The person has a very different personality. And I have seen this in individuals that are very close to me. When I watch some of these shows and I watch exactly some of the behaviors, you look at the person's face, you look at their eyes, you listen to how they express their words. Sometimes people get confused and they're not really sure this isn't an emotional, psychological issue, or whether or not you'll hear people say, what are you, possessed by the devil or something? And then they'll kind of laugh it off. But it's nothing to laugh off. back to Zach's museum, not to endorse it, but he does have some very interesting exhibits in there. There is a woman who was actually possessed by a devil or a demon who, as they say, sucked the living life out of her. And it did. And she, what she did, though, is she started to take selfies of herself and document every types of moments that she did not feel right. And they even had audio of her voice that sounded very demonic. And, you know, so it was a shocking exhibit and to have to look at, but it was also something that is very possible, too. So you never hear of demons or entities jumping inside of people who want to actually do something positive. It always seems to be the negative portion of the person that may have passed. And so this is also interesting, too, because when you think about it, and I'm thinking about to like nursing homes, yes, psychologically and with certain cancers and that can affect the, you know, the brain, it is possible for someone's personality to change based on physical health conditions. So we cannot rule that out. It's the other conditions where the individuals are experiencing things, but becoming more temperamental in their environment and seem to be different once they leave their environment. So let's take a look. I pulled one article tonight on this. I wanted to look at it and I wanted to kind of address it a little bit. It's an article that was written 12 years ago, actually. What I want to talk about is some of the things that I see in this article that I agree with and that I would say is fairly spot on. So this person talks about the fact that anyone who is dead is a ghost. I disagree. I'm sorry, I disagree. Just because you're dead doesn't make you a ghost. We are still trying to discover in the paranormal field what exactly it is about the energy of someone who has passed away. Whether or not this is the whole being of the individual that passed away or just a very small portion of it that managed to stick around and it might have been, let's say, maybe the more negative center of the person. And if you watch enough paranormal shows and kind of follow them and you think about what you're watching, this is the very essence that they're trying to figure out on these shows as well. What exactly have I come in contact with? Is this the negative portion of the consciousness or being that I'm exploring here that seems more demonic? Or what is it exactly? This article also says that good ghosts could also be considered our allies. They might communicate with us on an emotional level and maybe protecting us and warning us of potential dangers ahead. Yes, and maybe. I don't know offhand if a ghost can physically protect you, but they can certainly warn you. And I have been warned through my ghost app that I use with intelligent responses. I have been warned. So that can occur. So I validate that from my experience and others as being yes. But to be able to protect someone would have to go to the physical being of something. And that I'm not really quite sure of. I don't think so. They have to be physical in order to protect us. They can't always hold back a car. Can you imagine if there's a speeding car and it was going to hit something? I don't know how many it would take to actually literally have the force to hold back that vehicle from, you know, running into a tree, for example. I did have one weird experience once where I hit black ice and I slammed on the brakes and I held them very tight. And I was going for the guardrail and I saw it coming and I closed my eyes and I just said, please help me. And all of a sudden, within like a half inch, my car just came to a complete stop. I always give credit to my guardian angels for helping me in that moment. But whether or not they had the physical strength, I have no idea. I can't answer that. This article says that the bad ghosts could be considered our enemies, and they usually hit our emotional levels in very negative ways. And a negative ghost can provoke arguments, fights, criminal activity, unhappy or depression, substance abuse, or just about any negative event.
aggravated, that creates a strong emotional presence. I agree. These individuals that are very close to me, one in particular is very temperamental all the time and very argumentative. I do not want to blame my father for this, but I have to say that when you see changes in your family members and they're very passionate about something where logically they're a little bit off the beaten path, you know that someone in your family was very passionate about something, you have to question if there's any force that's happening there that might have gotten to this sensitive individual. You know, we all have times when we get very angry. We are emotional beings. Negative entities love that type of emotion because it's something they can feed off of. Negative entities also love to feed off of fear. It's another strong emotion that we have. So when someone is very frightened going into a haunted place, it is very possible that they could be setting themselves up for a number of experiences. I can honestly say when I went into Zach's place, museum, I went in there completely neutral. Now, maybe subconsciously, I was fearful because I knew I was a target and I became a target. But do I feel like I was feeding anything in particular at the time? I don't think so. There was more people around me that had more fear within them than I did. And like I said, I had different kinds of attacks in there, but ultimately the one that I had that was the most strongest, I'm not even sure it was negative, but I can tell you that it was near the Dybbuk box room, you know. And so do I think the Dybbuk box and energy had something to do with me? Maybe it knew I didn't want to look at it to begin with, so it decided to show its methods before we reached that point. But I do know that when I was in there and I said I didn't want to look at it, whatever it was that was around near in me, by me, or whatever, finally started to subside and leave me. And it's a very different feeling when that happens. I have been encountered a number of times by the paranormal. I've been encountered by those that are not hostile, but yet you still have a reaction to that. And I have been encountered by perhaps a hostile one, which was in his museum, possibly, especially the one that was stabbing my neck. Okay. Now that one was obvious. By the way, I've never had that feeling since. And it was the most unusual, odd feeling, along with all the burning sensations that I had all over my body. And I thought, you know, something is just really hating me right now. But again, I think it was because I was openly rubbing my cross and was probably provoking it, not intentionally, but trying to save myself. But in a way, I just set myself up as a target. So let's take a look some more and think about whether or not these ghosts can actually control somebody. Yes, I firmly would stand on the side that would say possession is very real. Demonic energy and possession is very real. Our loved ones who have agendas from the other side may be very strong in their opinions about things still on this earth. I keep reading all the time that they are not supposed to meddle in the lives of the live human being, but it seems like that's not always possible. It happens in many different situations, not always in family situations, but maybe even over buildings or businesses or whatever that they might have felt very strong about. Some of them, I know that when I went to my dentist down the road, which I didn't even know I was in a very paranormal area, by the way. No wonder people are buying my books, right? There is a former dentist that apparently they have figured out who is hanging around and just keeping an eye on the dental office. And so when I'm in there getting my teeth cleaned, some of them will tell me about their recent happenings and their stories. So it doesn't just it can be on just about anything. And when you think about these haunted objects too, and whether or not why the energy is on that object, My question remains is, okay, so you're on the object. Isn't there a point where you can get sick of hanging all over it and simply just kind of go to something else? That is something that I wish somebody would try to answer, because I don't know how to answer it. Why does the energy stay on the object? Why doesn't it just leave? So, you know, you think about this, and I don't know. But let's go back to whether or not people can be controlled. It says in this article that negative ghosts feed on fear, anger, and rage. Yes. Have I seen that in people that I love? Yes. Does that mean that they're being possessed by the demon or devil or whatever? I don't know. I think it just all depends on where they are at the time and what's going on, and if the land has any kind of negative imprint on it, or whatever the case may be that is causing these people to get overly emotional. Let's see. It's true that negative ghosts need nothing to worry about. Well, never be afraid of a ghost. But it does make them stronger and more bold and more connected if somebody has these types of emotions. So let's say you're not possessed by anything, but let's say that in a nutshell, these ghosts feed off of this energy because that's what they need in order to, I don't know, make themselves known, I guess. Well, this article is trying to talk about ghosts with bad intentions. And yes, that can be true. You hear these things all the time where something is cursed, or somebody is, a business goes down and goes bankrupt, or a group disbands, or, you know, because they can be very territorial about their property. I agree with this article. When it comes to territory, some disembodied apparitions, loved ones or whatnot, have a very hard time letting go. So they will approach someone in the family, and they will do what they can to work at that person to see if they can still serve their purpose for them. And by the way, I've had a few psychics tell me that regarding situations that are currently happening in my family. And of course, I just laugh it off inside, but I'm not laughing it off anymore because I can see how real this can actually be. This is what this article says. Some ghosts are very negative and very powerful. Yes. But why is it that the negative part of a person is always the one that seems to stick around the most? I don't get it. This is the part that everyone's trying to explore and research. Why is it that it's the negative part that seems to be the strongest part hanging around? I don't know. They say that they take time and effort learning how to manipulate other people. Sometimes when the atmosphere is right, they can also affect others within a group of those people. It says the best way to get rid of a negative ghost is that you need to do an exorcism, and sometimes if an attack is severe enough, a required clearing of the home is necessary. Okay, so I hate to say this, but how do you tell somebody, I think you have a demon inside of you and you need to be exorcised? That's going to be a real tough one right there. Let's see. Most ghosts that have negative intentions can also be dangerous, but not always. But they do seek out people who strive to be more negative. Okay, and a person who is doing negative things during their lifetime and negative activities or goals, sometimes it doesn't even matter. They somehow seem to want to affect people to go down the same path as they did. Negative ghosts attack just about anyone they feel they can, and it's all over the world in every city and every village. Yes, yes, I agree with that. Yes. It says another kind of negative ghost, which is commonly referred to in spirit, attacks businesses, families, individuals, and they have a power of affecting a human being that can also make them dangerous, and they are usually highly manipulative and intelligent. They may never, let's see, although not as common as spirits, they do attack people. Yes. Let's see. It also says negative ghosts also attack individuals for revenge. Oh, yes. Yes. That my last show on haunted dolls, there's a segment there on what happens when you mess with a haunted doll, and people can say to me all the time, oh, no, that was coincidence. Oh, no, that was coincidence. Oh, that was just timing and coincidence. Well, I don't know. I beg to differ. But to get revenge and has negative intentions, It can either stay and attach itself to individuals and property, and can also, you know, take people and bring them right down to their lowest level. It says here, let's see, some have the unwillingness to move on, which causes them to be even more aggressive. Very interesting here. I'm trying to grab some other stuff here. Ghosts spend very little time and can easily move from building to building, village to village. Yes, that's true. There are many ways to perceive a ghost. You know, one can feel it. They can maybe sense it. They might hear it. They could probably see it. But they can also communicate in ways that causes hallucinations or imaginations of our perceptions. And they can have make people have very active imaginations when they start to manifest. So, interesting stuff here. This is kind of where it ends. This gentleman says he has the ability to remove negative spirits. But what do? Go to your family member and say, I think you have you're possessed. You're temperamental. You like to argue all the time. You don't listen to anybody else. I think something's wrong with you. What do? Do you say, let's go talk to an exorcist, right? I don't know. It doesn't work that easily. But the bottom line is to recognize all this stuff and to try to figure out what's going on. And once that is figured out and what's going on, then the next step, of course, is to see if you can help the individual calm down. And if you can't calm them down and the mission is way too strong, then you're going to have to start asking questions about who you can contact to see what kinds of strategies you can do, or if you throw holy water at the person and watch their head spin around. I don't know. But I hope that you've learned a little bit about why some of these demonic energies and these negative energies seem to hang about the most negative, or they try to vulnerable people, because that's their mission. And I don't know. I don't have answers for you, but I do have observation for you. Thank you for listening to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. I really appreciate your support as usual. And again, I hope to bring you some interesting shows and new guests in the future. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Dr. Schutz welcomes your emails and paranormal stories. Visit her website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com for contact information, or go to amazon.com to view her books, searching under Paranormal Encounters. Thanks for listening. Take care, and until next time,
be careful what you wish for.
The script, vocal talent, and music compositions in this podcast program are copyrighted. As a disclaimer, this podcast episode or parts thereof may not be reproduced, reposted, or transmitted in any form without the express permission from the producer and company, Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, or Para-X Radio Network. Any opinion or claim made in any podcast episode by the host or guest does not necessarily represent the viewpoints of Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, Para-X Radio Network, or its sponsors. Properties mentioned in any podcast are publicly known to be haunted or have been discovered to have unexplained occurrences. If you are a ghost seeker, please take precautions and respect people's properties by not trespassing.